Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. David W. White was born in Waukegan, Illinois on August 28, 1971. By all accounts, David was a fun-loving and kind-hearted person, but a fierce competitor. He won an Amateur Athletic Union National Wrestling Championship and boasted many other high school and college victories. He earned both bachelor's and master's degrees and was a proud Navy veteran. His name is listed in the Navy's Hall of Fame for his wrestling prowess. On Sunday, June 7th, David White died at his home in Butte, Montana. He was 48 years young. On average, and we're talking before the time of COVID, approximately 7,400 Americans die every day, about one every 12 seconds. David White did not succumb to COVID-19. In fact, David was one of only six Americans per day who died from alcohol poisoning. In other words, David literally drank himself to death. On American Warrior Radio, we often have guests who come on to tell their inspirational stories. David can no longer do that, but his life and death inspired another man to ride his motorcycle 4,600 miles across the country and back to speak at David's funeral, and a little bit more. Well, a lot more. Joining us to share more, Marine veteran, best-selling author, and executive director of Save the Brave Foundation, Scott Husing. Scott, welcome back.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always great. And equally to see you when I rode through Tucson last week.
Scott, let's get it out of the way right now. You did something to anger your cell phone carrier. Are you by a hard line just in case?
I will not be ashamed to admit that when I'm traveling, I let some of my administrative duties fall to the wayside. So, okay. The ironic part was you had called me right before that, and then the phone glitched, and I went back on and got it all sorted out. So we're good.
Scott, yeah. I'm just saying I'm no Pete Turner, so I need you, brother. Stick with us. So for those who missed your last couple of appearances on American Warrior Radio, you are a Marine veteran, 24 years of service, and retired at the rank of major. 10 overseas deployments and hundreds of combat missions.
That's correct. Yeah, you summed it up. And since retiring, I've taken on writing and sharing other great stories. And you've picked up a few. Our dear friend Rich Stayskulls, we got his story out there. And being part of SaveTheBrave.org and raising awareness for veterans who are struggling with post-traumatic stress and suicide it's important with all the COVID and everything else going on. There's still other causes people have to be aware of, and you can't just forget about them because this is at the front and center. There's still other things. So that's why when Dave died, I decided to hop on my motorcycle and ride across the country. And it wasn't really even planned until a lot of my fellow Marines found out I was riding across the nation. They kind of rallied behind it. And to date, we've raised over $20,000 in the cities we've hit right now. And I still have about another 1,000 miles to go. I'm currently in Arlington, Texas right now, and we're getting ready to do an event here for Save the Brave. And then I'm going to push west through Tucson. I'll see Tucson on the 28th.
Now, Scott, when you came through on your outbound trek, I was busting your chops about only a Marine would make the conscious decision to drive through Yuma, Arizona in July. I think you said it was, 118, 116 degrees when you passed through that area. And of course, I'm kidding. You, typical of a Marine or a veteran, you do what you have to do to support your fellow veterans. But what was it, when you heard about David's death, and you could have flown to North Carolina, but what was it about the open road and the motorcycle and just about making this journey?
Well, again, everyone's going to give me a hard time. They say, you picked the best month to ride because it's so hot. I said, well, it picked me. Like I didn't have a choice, and you don't get a lot of notice when things like this happen. But out of tragedy, some good things can come. And I think it's been really unifying for not just veterans, but civilians. I mean, you saw the turnout in Tucson, and we've had people in every city I've stopped in, and the local media have kind of gotten around this story just because with so much bad news, I think it makes people feel good. They hop on the highway, they ride with me for a little bit. We do these events at local breweries or, people have invited me into their homes, and it's, I think people want something to feel good about. And although the journey started through tragedy, I think it's brought some of the people together, and the family was happy to know that, you know, there's thousands of people now from coast to coast that know Dave's name, and they never met him, but I shared a little bit of his story at gas stations and, you know, truck stops. And I think that's important, that your memory lives on.
Well, when we come back, I'd like you to share a little bit more about Dave with our listeners, Scott. But just, you know, don't do this at home, folks. I mean, Scott has executed and planned hundreds of combat missions. And, of course, you've ridden across the country, what, eight, ten? Wait, no, never.
Never. First time for everyone.
I mean, it's one thing to take a cross-country trip, Scott, but to do it on a Harley-Davidson in July. I mean, did you have any trepidation at all, or you do what you got to do?
I'll be honest. I was a little nervous about it because I don't have a windscreen or a fairing on the bike. It's up in face, and it's a physical ride. The crosswinds, the heat, the pounding. But yeah, I try to keep in pretty good shape and fight gravity the best I can. But it's been physical. I think I've lost a couple pounds for sure, just sweating it out. But I always wear my leather to try and, you know, battle the elements. I've gotten a little bit of rain, a lot of heat and humidity, but it's been a safe ride and the support's been great. But yeah, I was a little nervous, like, man, am I going to be up to this? And people have even asked me if I put the bike in the back of the truck in between cities. I said, no, that would defeat the whole purpose. So it's been fun.
Well, and in fairness, you know, safety share here, a good friend of yours and fellow broadcaster Pete Turner, look up the Break It Down show, folks. This guy's got some really good chops. He decided to come along with you. He's driving your pursuit vehicle just in case, just to keep you safe and provide, a little company, not much because he's up there in the cab and you're in the motorcycle. But good on Pete for doing that, too.
Yeah, you really find out who your friends are when you do something like this, or you move, or you got to pack your house out, or so Pete hopped in his truck. He says, hey, I want to be there for you. And I made sure I didn't have to live out of my saddlebags on my bike and, you know, haul the coolers around. And he, you know, just has a great heart because he's a veteran. He's part of the tribe. He gets it, you know? So, I'm really fortunate to have him there. And Pete's been catching some interviews on the Break It Down show along the way too. So it's been really, really cool to have that type of support. Not everyone does that for you. So says, hey, I'm going to take off for 18 days and follow you around the country and go on a road trip. So it's been really helpful.
Well, Scott, if you'd given me more than 45 minutes warning of this adventure, I might have, you know, kicked some money in to help buy you a windscreen. I've done that. I mean, I've raindrops at 80 miles an hour hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, they sting.
True, yeah. I did break down and get a full face helmet though for the ride, which has helped. So, but definitely, I think my vanity will get set aside next time I try to do this and maybe get a different bike that has a fairing on it.
Well, it's a beautiful bike, so don't be in a rush to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Scott Husing. Scott is a Marine veteran who is just on the last couple of legs of a round-trip cross-country journey on his Harley-Davidson to memorialize a Navy veteran friend of his, David White. When we come back, we'll hear more about David and what kind of person he was. Visit SaveTheBrave.org. You can support Scott's trek and follow his progress there. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Scott Husing. Scott is a Marine veteran, retired as a major, and literally he's been on American Warrior Radio before. The first time to talk about his just amazing book is called Echo and Ramadi. It's become a bestseller. I'd highly recommend it. And then it seems that when Scott comes back or wants to come back, it's always to help someone else or to spread a different message. So, Scott, always pleased to have you on American Warrior Radio. Scott, I have friends from high school that, you know, I grew up in a small town. I left to go to the big city. And, you know, really, I don't want to say we lost touch, but there's friends who I did not communicate with for 10, 15, 20 years. But then when we got back in touch, it was just like a day hadn't passed. What was your relationship with David like? Was it similar to that? Because you guys were high school buddies, right?
Yeah, We kept in touch over the years, and I think that's for. I think it's especially unique for veterans. But Dave and I were so young, and his older brother was a year ahead of me. Dave was a year younger than me, but we always spent a lot of time in high school together. Mom was probably cooked more meals for me than my own at my house. So over the years, Dave was in the Navy, went to different schools and worked on his degrees. But we always kept in touch. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of the times Dave would reach out, he'd be really drunk on the phone and kind of where you'd have to set the phone down. And Dave was one of those people that struggled with alcohol issues, depression. And, you know, we tried to throw him a lifeline a lot and tried to bring him out to California. I literally jumped off the side of the boat to try and drag this guy on board. And there's just some people you can't save. And sadly, Dave was one of them. Even though we did keep in contact, he went on his own volition up to Butte, Montana. And I don't think he was really surrounded by the right people, definitely not people that cared about him and loved him enough. And I think that isolation is really what exacerbated his drinking. And, you know, when I got the phone call, it was pretty tough because he was a fun-loving guy. There wasn't a bone in Dave's body that people didn't love being around. He was just a funny guy. I mean, any image of Chris Farley that you might have, this big, you know, loud, boisterous dude, that was Dave to us. And he's been a part of our life. So it was hard riding across the country. And I had to realize at one point Dave wasn't going to be there when I showed up in South Carolina. And that was, you know, kind of something that took me back, but I was glad to be there for the family.
Scott, when I first started preparing for this show, I thought, well, you know, the coroner's report said that he died of alcohol poisoning, but really it was post-traumatic stress that killed him. Now, talking to you, I'm hearing that he'd had these struggles all along in his life and just went too close to the edge and fell off. Is that a more accurate summation?
Yeah, I think that's completely accurate. Luckily, people who are abusing substances or alcohol, you can see some warning signs. And a lot of times you don't have the opportunity to do that. And SaveTheBrave.org, we're lucky to connect guys through outreach programs and kind of gauge that. And I even tried to bring Dave out fishing with us, and you know, you just couldn't break him away. But Dave's dad was a police officer in Waukegan, Illinois, and was shot in the line of duty when Dave was really young. So I think, you know, he suffered trauma at an early age. And I think a lot of times you carry that with you. And if you don't unpack that trauma, you struggle with that. And Dave was one of those people. He didn't have a rough combat deployment or anything like that in the Navy, but he was a Navy vet and he was a dear friend of mine. But I think you've heard me say it before, Ben, there's no such thing as combat leadership. There's just leadership. And it doesn't matter if you're a combat veteran. If you're a veteran, you're still serving. You're still part of the tribe. And I think that's important to remember, because some people in the veteran space tend to want to compare their service. And I don't care if you're turning a wrench on a truck or fixing food for an admiral or kicking doors in Ramadi. Your service counts. And that's just the way I'm built, and I'll help anybody that asks.
Scott, one thing about I used to like about when I would get out and ride is, you know, very often I'd go out and ride just to clear my head. And 4,600 miles is a lot of thinking time. What during the progress, particularly on your way out, as you're preparing your thoughts to speak at Scott's memorial, what kind of stuff is going through your mind? Was there a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas, or it is what it is?
Wow, that's perfect question, really good question, because when his uncle Bob called me and said, you know, hey, I want you to write the eulogy or give the eulogy, I wrote a couple notes down, because that's what writers are supposed to do. You're supposed to write stuff down. And then it just kind of sat, and the days were clicking by, and I didn't write a formal eulogy until I finished the ride and I got to South Carolina that night at his house, at his folks' house. And I didn't want it to be some dry, sterile speech. I think what really hit me most was how I was riding across the country and I was surrounded by this beautiful landscape and everything we fight for as veterans and Americans and don't take things for granted. And Dave was kind of like that. He was this big force of nature and he came and went, you know, in and out of my life, kind of like the trip has. And he made an impact. And I think he made an impact in a lot of people's lives and he'll be missed. But I didn't write that I wanted it to be not about a laundry list of what Dave did in his life, but how important it is to not take things for granted and miss opportunities. And I feel pretty good that most people who stay connected with Dave can learn from that. I think it's a good constant reminder, at least occasionally, that we don't take things for granted.
You know, Scott and I were talking about, Laura and I were talking about memorial services, and my father was a pastor, so I've probably been to more weddings and funerals than your average bear. But Laura and I were just talking about how it's interesting how there's things we don't say to people or we don't say about people or we don't appreciate about people until their memorial service or their funeral. And what a wasted opportunity and what a shame. And, you know, on occasion, she was kind of joking, on occasion somebody will stand up in the back and say, no, actually he was a real jerk and I don't know why you guys are talking so nice about him, but that's pretty rare. What was the vibe there and how did you hold up there?
I will say, if people haven't seen Patriot Guard Riders, they came out. We scheduled the Patriot Guard Riders in Spartanburg, South Carolina. These people are an amazing segment of society. They're motorcycle riders. It's a nonprofit that they run, but any service member that's combat-related debt or anything, service, they rally to that point. And they ride in their Harleys, and there are probably, you know, 15 or 20 bikers that showed up. They post the colors, and Those Patriot Guard riders are just amazing people. I mean, it was hot that day in South Carolina, and they're standing there baking in the sun. So Dave was sent off with, you know, full colors, and my fellow riders, you know, showed up at the funeral parlor, and everyone rolled in. And I think that meant a lot to the family too to have the Patriot Guard riders there and just have a little semblance of military community in the middle of South Carolina where there wasn't really a base located. So it was important. And I want to always take an opportunity to thank those guys because they do amazing work. They've been at all the memorials I've ever been to.
Scott, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your adventure because it kind of reminds me of that scene from Forrest Gump where he just decided to start running. And then next thing you know, people are joining along. And thankfully, your journey, not every part of your journey, was by yourself. You mentioned the Patriot Riders. You've had other folks that come out and to support you. So when we come back, I want to chat about that. And also a little bit more about Save the Brave. Because honestly, I went to your website, savethebrave.org, and I'm looking at this list of 14 indicators of post-traumatic stress. And Scott, I've been shot at, but I've never been in combat. I've had a couple of bad car accidents, but you know, I've had a blessed life. But honestly, Scott, I'm looking at this list and I could right away pull 7 things off this list that I'm looking in the mirror thinking, hey, buddy, you know, maybe you need to think about that. So I want to chat more about Save the Brave and what you're doing to help support the veterans when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, chatting with Marine veteran Scott Husing on the last 2 legs of a 4,600-mile motorcycle journey. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Scott Husing. Scott is a Marine veteran. He's got just a peach of a book out. It's been out for a while now called Echo and Ramadi. That's a bestseller. Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's regular bestseller, New York Times bestseller, bestseller in Paris, all the above?
There's different shades, Yeah.
Let's just say it's a bestseller, because I read it. It's a great book. I encourage folks to read it as well.
It was, it's been a number one bestseller, I think, four times over. And we've had a lot of success with the book.
Scott, part of what you're doing here on this adventure cross country and back on your motorcycle is not just honoring your friend David, but also raising funds for Save the Brave Foundation. Folks can find out more at savethebrave.org. This organization was founded by two Marines, David Velez, who is a contemporary generation Marine. Who did he deploy with you?
He did. Nick Velez was one of my young machine gunners in Ramadi, and now has a successful restaurateur. He's got a restaurant in the L.A. area, and he's putting one in Temecula, California very soon. It's about to open up. But, we started SaveTheBrave.org when we lost Simon Litke, who was one of our squad leaders. He committed suicide. And we just wanted to do something. We weren't happy sitting around. We really thought there was a need that we could do something different than some of the other existing nonprofits. And there's a lot of them out there that are doing great things. But I think when it comes to supporting a veteran support organization, a lot of people in the public who aren't veterans really ask themselves one question, like, where does the money go? What do you do with the money? What do they really do? Well, what we really do at Save the Brave is connect veterans. And we do this through outreach programs, and the offshore fishing has just kind of grown a mind and body of its own, because the guys just love it, and you can really see a metric of success. So 83 cents of every dollar goes to support programs. That's high. The average, I think, is around 76 cents goes to programs for most VSOs. So we pride ourselves on that. And that's what it costs. I mean, when we ran across the country and we raised, over $20,000 so far, I'm thinking, like, well, we'll have $50,000 by the time I hit California. But to send one veteran out on the ocean for a once-in-a-lifetime experience is about $1,250 a day to get them out for an overnight trip and then bring them back. And my vision is to ultimately bring the families in to support them so they can see all this. And that all takes time. It takes resources. And if you can't give your time, and making a donation is all you feel comfortable doing, that's fine too. And you go to SaveTheBrave.org and you can make a recurring monthly donation. There's 1,000 people listening to the show, and they all donated $5 a month. I mean, that's like $60,000 a year. We could help a lot of people with those type of resources. But it takes support in many different shapes and forms.
Scott, what is it do you think about your programs, getting the vets out there on a boat to fish or going camping or doing something like that? What is it about that is impactful? Is it, I'm guessing part of the answer is you're getting them out there with other veterans so they recognize they're not alone and feel a little more comfortable opening up. But what else am I missing there that is making this so effective?
Well, I think it's great that there's options for veterans, and especially the ones who deal with some form of post-traumatic stress or anxiety, that you could, fishing is not the only thing. Maybe it is equine therapy. Maybe it's hiking. So there's a lot of options, but for our guys that go out, we're the only California-based nonprofit that's taking guys offshore fishing. And I think that when you get on the boat, you get past the channel marker and your cell phone dies and you are forced to disconnect and you've got 10 or 15 veterans on the boat from all different branches of service, you're forced to connect. And that camaraderie builds as they cast the lines out, and when they catch a big fish, it's exciting. And I'm no angler, but I've been on a few trips. I wish I could go on more, but it's exciting to see the look. And then gauge that metric of success when they come back, or they send an email several months later thanking you. That's really the best you can hope for, and there is no real math to do on how successful can you be. But if we can keep connecting guys in a safe space where they feel that they can open up a little bit, I think that helps part of the healing process as they move forward.
Scott, you mentioned Nick. One of the other things I love about Save the Brave is the intergenerationalness, I don't know if that's even a word, but it's not my first language, of the organization. Ernie Delgado, tell us a little bit about Ernie. He's seen some rough,
yeah,
rough ground.
Ernie's a Vietnam vet. He's a co-founder of Save the Brave. As a young lead slinger downrange in Vietnam, he is on the cover of Life magazine. It's an iconic photo of Ernie. And he, you know, to have that cross-generational from someone who's 70, someone who's 50, someone who's 30, we even got people younger than that now who support, that is a great thing to have because it gives so much different perspective and on how we can always improve on what we're doing. And we don't ever want to be complacent with how we continue to grow at the right rate. And I think that that's important, but I always want there to be improvement in what we do. And I think one of those things is we continue to grow. We want to establish some scholarship programs and opportunities for deserving children. And we also want to continue to help our Gold Star families and provide some opportunities with them as well. But that's something we gain by having a bunch of different people on the board, and Nick and Ernie are definitely, you know, it spans 4 years, but if you listen to us all talking around the kitchen table, you think we're all 18-year-old kids.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Scott, your official title was Save the Brave as executive director. So you were involved at the outset of this organization and just decided to come on board? And I mean, were you just sitting around and you drew straws, you got the short straw, said, okay, we're going to make you executive director? Or how did that work?
No, in all seriousness, Nick and the guys, you know, when Simon killed himself in November of 15, he filed all the paperwork. He set up the 501c3, got everything certified, picked the name, and then he called me and told me that he did all this and asked me if I would be the executive director. And I told him, as long as we do things for the right reasons and we grow at the right rate, and that's what we've done over the last 5 years. And we dropped $2,000 we had in the bank account to, you know, get things going and bought some t-shirts. And, you know, since then we've helped hundreds of veterans. We've done, I think we did, the guys did 20 trips last year and Gold Star events and, you know, providing funding for sometimes those families that have lost their son or daughter to suicide. Unfortunately, we allocate funds for that and we try and support. But it's being the executive director is it's a title, but we're very boots on the ground. People have often ask me, like, oh, who's your staff that does that? I'm like, you're looking at them. I'm like, we do all of this because it's what we love to do. We don't take a salary. We feel guilty. I'm not saying people don't deserve to get paid for their time, but I want to make sure that all the money that's donated right now is going back to veteran programs. That's my priority.
Scott, you've seen, if folks read Equo and Ramadi or just have a chance to meet you, you've seen some, you've seen a lot. But I mean, meeting you and talking to you, you got it together. If you don't mind sharing, Scott, but on occasion, does the Scott Husings of the world also need a little bit of help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think doing the ride or doing events is good medicine for me. I think it's soul food to stay connected to some degrees. But, yeah, you know, that's kind of you to even say something like that, Ben. That's maybe why we can rib each other as much as we do. But I think it definitely helps me. But I also am very fortunate to have the capacity to share my story. And I get it. Not everyone has that capacity. Not everyone can get on a stage in front of 5,000 strangers and just, you know, share and pick open that scab every single time with what they've seen and what they've done and what they've had to go through. And not everyone has to barf it into a book and put it on the shelves of Barnes & Noble. But I feel fortunate to have that capacity because sometimes along the road, you interact with people that say how important that was, that I shared my story, that they can relate to it. And that in and of itself, then, is, I think, a payment for me. That's what keeps me going. That's why I think when I have great examples like Herschel Woody Williams, who's still doing that at age 96, I'd feel pretty guilty at night if I just said, no, I'm just going to crawl in a hole and not share my story.
I tell you what, Woody's been, other than you, Scott, Woody's been one of my favorite interviews. What a peach he is. Scott, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your Forrest Gumpian adventure across the country, and just, you know, be thinking about some stories. I'm sure you've seen a lot. You've met a lot of people, and it's been pretty interesting. Folks, if you'd like to meet Scott and help out, he'll be coming back through Tucson Tuesday, July 26th, 28th, about 5:30 at the 1912 Brewing Company, 2045 North Forbes Boulevard. 10% of all the craft brew proceeds from that event will benefit Save the Brave. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Scott Husing. Scott is somewhere in the great state of Texas on the last two or three legs of a 4,600-mile round-trip journey, just him and his motorcycle. It sounds like a novel or a movie, Scott. Maybe it will be someday.
I don't know. We're doing a lot of video and trying to capture the stories along the way, but there have been so many people that I've met at just all these stops along the way, from the American Legion in Tucson to Marty Bryan up in Bartonville, Texas. They did an amazing event for us there. Cochran Brewing in Atlanta, and then Siluria Brewing in Birmingham. It just, these are people I've never met, just for listeners so they understand this. I send them the press release. They don't know me from Adam, and they invite me into their businesses. They ask their patrons to donate money for a cause they know little about and just know me. And I think that that's obviously cultivated and developed with the reputation you build and people vouching for you. So I've had my Marines and soldiers that I've fought with in all these cities like, oh, sir, I know the perfect place, and we're going to host you here. And then it's just been overwhelming, like the support that's poured out and the donations. And, I mean, when we were at Cochran Brewing, I was just telling this story to another veteran. I got invited into their bed and breakfast because the hotel I had booked was too far away, and it was this palatial hot tub, like hacienda, and me and Pete were just blown away, and they cooked us breakfast the next morning. Never met him until 12 hours before that. So,
well, in fact, the Marine that's hosting you at his home here in Tucson, you guys had never met. You didn't serve together. It's just one of those things. I mean,
we served in the same company and battalion, but at different times.
Okay.
So there's the connection where, you know, he knew about Echo and Ramadi, and it was actually Tim Klund who invited me here in Arlington, gave Brian Lloyd, who hosted us, a copy of my book, the one that I signed for TK, and he goes, you got to read this book. And so Brian read it, and then I stayed at his house, and his wife cooked me and Pete dinner. But yeah, we'd never met. He just invited us into his home, and I mean, there's just not a lot of people that do that. I think it really, one thing that's shown itself, Ben, on this trip thus far has been that power of human connection, and that the human condition has shown itself again, that inherently people are really good and people really want to care in a world that gets really jaded by everything we see on mainstream media. The people I'm running into, when some guy who works at a plumbing company pulls out $20 at a gas station and says, hey, man, I overheard you doing some social media posts. He goes, I want to pay for your next tank of gas. Total stranger. So you can't help but be humbled a little bit by those acts of kindness. I am.
Scott, I got to tell you, I'm thinking about this. I've done, I don't know, I'm approaching 300 shows, and you know, when I got your, I can't remember if you texted me or emailed me or called me or whatever it was, but you, my gut reaction is, yeah, if Scott wants it, we're going to do it. And you, second only to the Havoc Journal folks who are, you know, regular guests who give us updates, Honestly, I think in 300 shows, you've had the most appearances now.
Do I get like a smoking jacket or something like Saturday Night Live, the Five Timers Club? I might hold you to that.
Don't push it. No, I love these stories though, because if you've seen Forrest Gump, folks know what I'm talking about. He's literally, he's running and people are coming out of the bushes and running with him. And has there been, were there any surprises so far, Scott, where just a couple of bikes pulled up alongside you, or did you kind of know it was coming?
Yeah, I've had a few of those. I love it because I got the Save the Brave flags and the Marine Corps flag on the back of the bike. So the truckers will go by and they'll honk their horn and they'll give me the thumbs up or, you know, the peace sign. And that's cool. But when I rode through Meridian, Mississippi, there was about 40 Harley riders. And then the news team came down and they found out the story. And then one of my Marines who was in Ramadi with me drove like 2 hours down just to see me. For about, I mean, we didn't even get to chat for maybe more than 15 minutes. It was too short, but he didn't want to miss an opportunity to see me. And he suffers from MS as well. So for him to make the trek down 2 hours and then back just to hang for a little bit, I mean, it's really great. I mean, so I've had a lot of surprises like that. But and then former Marines or people that I've maybe interacted with on social media who follow me and do that. And then they show up and then I finally get to put a face to the name in real life. Those are always good times when we can cross paths and really interact. It's not just electronically.
Scott, I don't want to overlook this because I mentioned earlier before on some of these symptoms that folks should look for. Are there one or two things that you could share with our listeners if they know a veteran or, I mean, heck, even if they're not a veteran, just somebody that's just struggling, the depression. And I think one of the things you mentioned was so important is just this idea of getting people out. And you hear this a lot, particularly with the elderly now, with the COVID crisis and the quarantine, just the fact that they're not having that social interaction can lead to some real problems.
Absolutely. And I think you've probably heard me say this, but we don't own the words service and sacrifice and trauma and stress. The first responders and military people don't own those. Anybody can experience those. And, you know, we focus on those we affect, those who we relate with in the veteran community. But everybody deals with these things. They're not exclusive to guys that went to combat or guys that see bad things on the street. But when people are drinking heavily, they're abusing substances, when their tempers are short, they're quick, I think those are real warning signs for people. And then when they start to isolate themselves, which are not related to the pandemic, but that's something to really be cautious of, because it does lead to that last stage of hopelessness, which is, again, that jump off point where people make decisions that you can't return. And for any veteran or people that are dealing with stress out there, I just beg them to please don't even think about killing yourself, because it leaves a massive wake of destruction and sadness behind that people are left to clean up. And it's something we can affect. And I want people, if you're a veteran or a first responder or anybody, to know that there's thousands of people out there that love you and want to support you, and sometimes you're total strangers, whether you want to believe it or not.
Scott, we're down to just about a minute and a half, so quick yes or no question. Better to make the inquiry and to reach out to someone and be wrong than to not do it and regret it the next day, right?
Absolutely. Ask.
So what is next? What have you got left on your journey? I mentioned again, if folks want to come down and meet you and throw a couple bucks into the helmet, they can do that on July 28th, 5:30-ish. At the 1912 Brewing Company on Forbes Boulevard, that's just west of I-10 and Grant, I-10 and Grant Road. 10% of the proceeds to SaveTheBrave.org. They can go there right now and kick some money in the hat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to our good friend Colleen, we got riders riding me through New Mexico into Arizona on the 28th. But I'll be leaving Dallas on the 27th, and then into Tucson on the 28th. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. It's gonna be great to finish strong.
And then one more leg through lovely, lovely Yuma.
Yeah, back through Yuma, my old stomping grounds, and then back to Temecula.
Well, so Scott, thank you so much for what you're doing and for what you share with us. I encourage folks to support you. Visit SaveTheBrave.org. Check out Echo and Ramadi. Great book. Scott, ride safe.
Hey, thanks, brother. We'll see you soon.
Very good. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast and over 250 others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're everywhere. Share the messages, please. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.